This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hey there, Dave.
Carbon pricing is a term used to fund clean energy initiatives. There is a bill to do that. Right now, in the Rhode Island General Assembly, the bill's sponsor is Providence State Representative Aaron Regenberg, who joins us on The Bottom Line. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me on the show.
Why don't you give us a kind of a quick snapshot type of description of the bill, first of all?
Absolutely. Well, I was very excited this year to introduce the Energize Rhode Island Clean Energy Investment and Carbon Pricing Act, really for three main reasons. First, you know, I believe the scientific consensus that climate change poses an extreme, maybe even an existential threat for our world, certainly for our state. I think we need to act with urgency to address it. Second, I think that there is incredible promise and potential in that response, in that addressing for our state, because transitioning to that clean energy economy, that means more good-paying jobs, more money circulating in our economy, more energy security for Rhode Island. And third, I take seriously the many economists, businesses, and political leaders like Rhode Island's own Senator Whitehouse who argue that carbon pricing is one very effective and efficient way of getting us where we need to go when it comes to climate action.
So in effect, there would be a charge for using fossil fuels.
Yeah, so it sounds a little complicated, but it's actually pretty simple how it works. The bill would place a fee on carbon pollution paid for by the companies that sell fossil fuels in Rhode Island, but then it wouldn't hold on to that revenue in the normal way. It turns around and injects it all out into the local economy in two different manners. First, the lion's share goes through a rebate program back to every Rhode Island family and business, which does two things. One, it protects customers from fossil fuel company pass-along costs. But two, it creates a concrete economic incentive for Rhode Islanders to invest in efficiency and renewables, because the less dirty fossil fuels you use, the more benefit you get back from that rebate. And then the remaining portion of the revenue, about 25%, goes directly into our efficiency and renewable programs to make sure that they are, in fact, accessible to all the Rhode Islanders who now have an even greater incentive to take advantage of them.
How does this play itself out? I mean, you know, if we're talking about climate change, if we're worried about, you know, global warming, so we've put a price on carbon. You know, you might see a little bit of change of behavior based on who gets the rebates. But as you say, if you're a big polluter, you don't get as much of a rebate, but you get some of a rebate. If you're a small polluter, you might actually make a little money. So what's the incentive to change behavior here?
The basic sort of math of this is that the rebate that goes back is equal. It's on a per capita for individuals and per employee for businesses basis. But what people or entities are paying into that, based on, you know, potentially higher fuels costs, that's going to be unequal. So folks who are either not using a lot of energy or they're investing in efficiency and renewables, they're going to be spending in a lot less than they're getting back. And folks who are on the other side, who are, you know, big polluters, or they've got, you know, multiple cars, they're doing all that stuff, they're probably going to be spending more than they're getting back. And so it's a concrete reason for you to make those changes.
Let's take the gas tax, right? So we already have a gas tax, most, you know, almost all of it going toward transportation projects. How big would the carbon pricing tax be, the fee be on, say, you know, a gallon of gas?
So the legislation that I introduced, it starts at $15 per ton of CO2 emitted, and that equals out as far as gasoline to around, I think it's around 15 cents on the gallon. So I wanted to know, when I was thinking about this, what are the actual impacts on our state going to be, obviously? And so the Energize Rhode Island Coalition, which is a group of businesses and environmental groups, et cetera, that's working on this, they went to REMI, which is a pretty well-respected economic analysis firm. And REMI did a study, and the results of which, I think, painted a pretty clear picture that this bill is a win-win-win for our state. Not only is it predicted to significantly reduce our emissions, but also it's predicted to have a strong positive effect on our economy. Thousands of net jobs created, a boost to our GSP, our gross state product.
What kind of jobs?
They have, in that study, which is up on the Energize Rhode Island website, they have it broken down by industry. Construction, I think, has the largest boost, because we're going to be doing more green investments. And I think that makes sense when you think about this from a macroeconomic perspective. Right now, our state spends well over $3 billion every year on imported fossil fuels. So that's $3 billion that we're sending off every year to Texas, to Pennsylvania, to Saudi Arabia, that we could be investing here in our local economy. Every megawatt that we can transition from out-of-state fossil fuels to in-state efficiency and renewable generation means more dollars being paid to Rhode Island workers, circulating in Rhode Island businesses, et cetera. Those are all things that we want to see happen.
This is Rhode Island Public Radio. It's The Bottom Line, and our guest is Providence State Representative Aaron Regenberg. Is there a specific example of where this type of system is working?
Yeah, so there are carbon pricing schemes in a number of places, multiple provinces in Canada. It started in British Columbia, was so successful there, both on the economic and the emission side, that it's spread. Places like California, which has a cap and trade system, most of Europe right now, countries like Mexico, like Chile, and in fact, Rhode Island right now and the New England region, we are in something called RGGI, which doesn't get a lot of attention, but it's basically a limited carbon pricing scheme.
That's a cap and trade.
Right. It puts a small fee, and then that money goes into efficiency. It's one of the reasons that Rhode Island and our region is at the top of the list for energy efficiency in the country. So basically, that's sort of a proven model, and what this legislation would do is take that, ramp it up to the next level, and expand it economy-wide.
Which piece of the energy usage pie do you see being larger in the, you know, for being affected by carbon pricing? Is it utility? Is it electricity? Or is it transportation?
I'd have to refer back to the REMI study to get a clear sense. Right now, we're doing a good amount on the utility side, and I've got some other pieces of legislation that's working to expand the amount of energy that's coming from renewables. We haven't done a lot on the transportation side, so I would think just because of that, this actually starting to address that side would probably have an impact on that.
If a carbon pricing system gets on the books in Rhode Island, who would administer it? How would this work?
So the legislation, it sets a lot of those details out to be figured out by the administrative branch. This the Division of Taxation would be administrated a lot of the fee part. The Green Infrastructure Bank, which we created next year, would put a lot more resources into that.
If it's interesting, you say, you know, Speaker Mattiello believes that this is where we're going anyway, so why do we need to intercede in the market? Why do this if this is the way that the world is heading anyway?
So it's true that I think at some point we're going to get there. I mean, we've heard China recently announce they're doing a cap and trade system. This is where we're moving. I mean, the science is very clear. It doesn't mess around. That we need to change course significantly fast. And the science is the science. It's not going to wait around for politics. And I would argue that we have a responsibility to Rhode Island's young people, to my generation, the generations coming after mine, who, if we don't change course now, fast, we're going to be condemning them to a scary future, to a life that's going to be shaped in coming decades by environmental catastrophe, everything that comes along with it. So there's the moral imperative, but there's also, I think, the economic imperative. If this is where we're moving, then we can either sit on our hands, come along, you know, last place and sort of get the least economic benefits from it, or we can be a leader. We can be the folks who are designing and creating the energy of the future, designing that energy economy. To me, that's really exciting. That's what we want.
And we will have to leave it there. Providence State Representative Aaron Regenberg, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Thanks, as always, to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great to be here, as always, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is Rhode Island Public Radio.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.